Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are thankful and appreciative of you tuning in. We hope that you will listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to teach only those things that we find in God's holy and inspired Word, and so if there's anything that we say on the program that you do or do not agree with, or maybe there's a Bible subject or a Bible question that you have in your mind and you would like to have studied more on it. And certainly we'd be willing to consider that subject, but again, you have to let us know. You can do so by contacting us at the address that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This being Sunday, the first day of the week, in 30 minutes after this program ends, the East Abbotville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will come together at 9:30 and conduct a Bible study period. The study is being done only from the Bible. That's the only thing that we will ever study, is scriptures from God's holy and inspired Word. Then we will, at about 10:30, be able to conduct a worship period. During that time, we will sing, we will pray, we will hear the teaching of God's Word, and due to the fact that it is the first day of the week, we are commanded in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, and also the example given to us in Acts 20:7. To partake of the Lord's Supper, and to lay by in stores, we've been prospered. If you would visit with us, we would not ask you for your money, because we only are taking money from those that are members of the Lord's body. It is only those that are commanded to give. So if you come, don't expect to have to pull your billfold out. Just simply bring your Bible, observe the things that are being said and done. We will again this evening at 5 o'clock, assemble together for a period of the worship service. Also, the East Abbotville Church of Christ has a midweek Bible study. That's on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We also want to remind you that these services, if you are completely incapacitated and unable to come out to be with us personally, that these can be streamed on the internet, on your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever means that you have of being able to access the internet. Simply log on to www.eastalbertville.org, click on the live feed, and that will take you to the live video scene, both video and audio, of the services, the Bible studies as well as the worship services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, as well as Wednesday night. Also, you can see these on the church's YouTube channel, and if you're familiar and on Facebook, you can also find the services there as well. Another thing we want to remind you of is that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, Patrick Donahue has Bible Crossfire. This is a 30-minute live call-in radio program. Patrick will give you his phone number. You can dial that number, speak to him directly, and give him any Bible question that you might have on your mind or any Bible question that you've been trying to study and learn more about. And in return, expect him to give you only a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on both AM and FM WBSA. And if you're unable to pick up the radio station and have satellite radio capability, you can tune in at 8 o'clock on channel 131 and hear Bible Crossfire. Keep all these things in mind, as well as the website of the East Albertville Church of Christ that has many Bible articles, Bible correspondence courses, all of these radio sermons, as well as the sermons that are presented at the East Albertville Church of Christ. www.eastalbertville.org. They remembered the kind of man he used to be. He was a violent man that lived in the tombs outside the city. No one could approach him without a very fierce confrontation. Some had succeeded in capturing him and handing him, at least binding him, with chains and with shackles. And safety from this madman was short-lived, as his brute strength would break those shackles and tear those chains that were around him. Others had tried to bring the wild man under control with whips to tame him and to stop the violence that caused all of them to fear. But this, too, was of no avail. The citizens of the country lived with the horrible cries of a man that was possessed, who night and day cried out in mournful misery and torment as he cut himself with stones. But as they beheld this man before them, the only evidence of his former life was the scars where he had cut himself. He spoke softly of the change that had taken place in his life. His demeanor was not threatening, but calm, assuring. His eyes filled with tears as he recalled the day that Jesus came into his life. It was not but a few days ago when a boat came to rest on the shore of the Gadarenes. Among them that stepped out of the boat was a man whose presence was of no significance, and neither did he bear any grace that would take notice of him. And yet he was a man like no other man. His name was Jesus. The man remembers Jesus saying in Mark chapter 5, verse 8, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." The demons would leave the body of this man at the command of Jesus and perish with the rushing torrent of 2,000 swine that drowned in the sea. It was then, at that moment, in a life that was filled with unbelievable torment and sorrow, that there was a peace that flooded over this man, a peace that he'd never known before. The torment was gone. The crowd fell into a hush as the man described how he regained his mind and could sit still for the first time in who knows how long. He showed them the scars from the time of his imprisonment with those spirits, and how that Jesus of Nazareth had healed him and set him free. The man looked into the eyes of those who had sought for Jesus to leave their region, as verse 17 of Mark 5 teaches, and they wondered how they could not see the power of such a one as the man from Nazareth. They may have been more concerned about the 2,000 swine. Apparently somebody lost some money on that thing, but being concerned wherever it was obvious that they were more concerned elsewhere than they were for the miracle of this man's healing. He had returned home to tell his friends and neighbors about the things that Jesus had done for him, and what great compassion was given to this man from the hands of Jesus. When Jesus had entered a boat to leave the region, this man pleaded with Christ to allow him to come with him wherever he went, to go with him wherever he went. And yet Jesus would not permit him. But here's what Jesus said to him in Mark 5 and verse 19. "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you." You see, this man that was once the lunatic is now speaking to his friends and his neighbors about all that Jesus had done for them. In fact, Mark also tells us in verse 20, "And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." No, Jesus told this man to do three things. One, go home to your friends. Two, tell them what great things Jesus has done. And three, tell them how Jesus had compassion on you. You know, the gospel of the lunatic is the gospel that we can follow today. It's the good news that we should share with our friends about all of the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us, and to understand the compassion that Jesus had on those who were enemies of God. Let's look and read from Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Jesus tells this man the first thing, go home to your friends. You know, there's no secret formula to find those that need the gospel of Christ. You know, from our culture, we believe that to accomplish anything worthwhile, it has to be based upon some complex organizational structure of data gathering mixed in formulas of cross-sectioning, evaluation of geographical mapping. Friends, to find someone to teach the gospel of Christ, just step out your front door and look who lives next door to you. Examine closely your phone calls, and you'll find the people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment. The names of those you fish with, that you bowl with, that you go shopping with, that you enjoy tea parties with, and every other aspect of life that fills a weekly schedule. Those are the people that need the gospel of salvation. Now, Jesus did not permit the man to go with him, because there was another way that the man could serve the kingdom of Christ. The simple instructions of going home to his friends was where he was best suited to tell the story of his healing. He did not tell him to go into the whole entire world, to sail on a ship to a far country, or to take a long journey to some distant land. He said, go home. He would find those there among his friends and family that needed to hear the story. You know, Jesus tells us that even the lunatic had friends. They had witnessed his battle with the demons. They were saddened, obviously, by the state of affairs that he'd gone through for so many years. And yet now, how shocked they were to see him standing there before them, fully clothed, in his right mind, and he's come home to tell of these changes in his life. You know, this man could obviously speak for hours of the torment that he felt before he met Jesus, and now of what peace was afforded by the healing hand of our Lord. He would be telling his friends and his neighbors the story of his marvelous transformation. His friends would hear him. His friends would understand where he had come from. And the most important thing for the lunatic healed by Jesus would be of his story to his friends who also needed to know Jesus. His friends needed healing, but in a different way. They needed the spiritual blessings that are found believing that this same Jesus was the Son of God. They needed the spiritual blessings that they could have only in Christ. And that's where we must be today in order to have these spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We must be in Christ, but we'll never be in Christ until we know about the Christ, what he has done, and not just what he's done that for every man, but what Jesus requires of us. The other thing that Jesus told this man, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. You know, the man who once was bound by the chains of torment could talk unendingly of what great things that Jesus had done for him. He was grateful beyond measure for the calm that he now enjoys. His life has been radically changed, and he could not help but to tell of how wonderful it was to be free. You know, freedom is best expressed when we share that freedom with others. The lunatic was bound by men with chains and shackles. Friend, Satan binds us with sin, and we don't have the strength to break free. Our torment is the darkness that sin brings. We cry out in our misery, but no help can break the bonds of sin. The chains of Satan bind the hearts of all people who wallow in the mire of condemnation. But friend, Jesus come, and he came to set man free. In Romans 8 and verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And earlier, Paul described our condition before God. He said in Romans 5, verses 8, 9, and 10, let's read. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by his life. You see, our chains are described as being sinners, wrath, enemies, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. We read that in Ephesians 2 in verse 12. You see, the lunatic, he had no hope apart from Christ. We have no hope apart from Christ. When we experience the cleansing blood of the Son of God, we rejoice because we've been set free. Our freedom is real. Our rejoicing should fuel our zeal to tell our friends and neighbors of what Jesus has done for us. You know, sometimes people will say they don't know what to tell others to encourage them to obey the gospel. Well, Jesus told the lunatic to tell people what he had done for him. Tell your friends and your neighbors what changes Jesus has made in your life. Has the Lord made you a better person? Tell people. Has the Lord made you a better man, a better woman? Tell your friends what Jesus has done. You know, there's no magic formula to tell people about the gospel. Tell them what changes the Lord and the Savior has brought into your life. Can it be the reason that we don't tell people about the Lord is that we've not let the Lord change our lives? You know, if we were this lunatic, would you be able to remain silent about what Jesus did that day when he stepped out of the boat? Why not tell people what happened when you stepped out of the watery graves of baptism and became a child of God? Glory is given to the healing power of the man from Nazareth who takes away the sins of the world, who took away my sins. I'm no longer condemned. That's what Romans 8 and verse 1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. I've been washed from my sins, because in order to get into Christ, I was baptized into Christ, as Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27 teaches. I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive, as described in Ephesians 2. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. How can I not tell someone about all of these things? And then the third thing that Jesus tells this man, tell them how Jesus had compassion on you. See, that was the final thing Jesus told the lunatic to tell, was how Jesus had compassion on him. You know, compassion is a characteristic that is exhibited by the Son of God. We see it here. We see it in so many other passages that we don't have time to go into. Let's think about this. Jesus did not heal the lunatic as some methodical exercise of him just being deity. No, the heart of Jesus was moved by the condition of this man in torment. How ragged, miserable, and tormented this man must have looked. When Jesus saw him on the shore, he was struck by his appearance. No doubt his disciples were also impacted by what they saw. You know, they would have seen a man who would have scared the bravest of them. Bloody, wild, loud, crazed, unstable. That would have been the picture of someone that would have been living among the tombs. Men would draw back at such a sight, but not Jesus. He saw what was in the man. Jesus saw the torment. And from a heart of compassion, Jesus knew the misery of the man. Through his love, he bestowed upon a lunatic the freedom from the prison of the demons. Mark 5, verse 8, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Jesus acknowledges that the lunatic was not an animal. He was a man. This man was created in the image of God that we know from Genesis 1 and verse 27. Jesus knew how to bring peace to the man. He set him free by his heart of compassion. Friends, when Jesus stepped from the sea of his heavenly dwelling and came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he saw the miserable state of mankind. The cry of every soul was being tormented by the power of darkness, despair, that sin brings. The Jews, they had sought to find release through the keeping of the law of Moses and failed. The Gentiles, they tried to save themselves and through the worshiping of idols in most instances, but they failed. All of mankind was in darkness. And we see that in John 1. Again, we don't have time to read those first 13 verses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 17. It was the heart of compassion that took Jesus to the cross. He knew that to remove the shackles of sin from you and me, it would require his death. And he was willing to make that sacrifice for me. He was willing to make that sacrifice for you. How could we not tell our friends and neighbors what great compassion that Jesus had to save us from our sins? You know, the lunatic, he understood what Jesus had done for him. It was not a casual remembrance that this man shared of how his life was changed. He'll never forget the love that Jesus had for him, and he'll never fail to tell others of that love. You know, we can become so trapped in our own lives that we forget what love Jesus bestowed upon us when we obeyed the gospel, when he washed away our sins in the blood of his Son, his own self. Did you hear that? He washed away our sins. He took our sins away. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. He He justified us, as 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 teaches. And what a price. We've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And we know what that price is. It was his life. It was his death. It was his blood. That's the price. And the way that we glorify God in our body is to tell our friends and our neighbors what great things that Jesus has done for us and how Jesus had compassion on us. Yes, the life of this lunatic changed when he met Jesus on the seashore. Now, it's not known if he ever sees Jesus again, but what is known is that he proclaimed, as Mark 5 and verse 20 records, he proclaimed all that Jesus had done for him. And those to whom he proclaimed that to, it says, they all marveled. See, Jesus lived in his life, and his friends knew he was a changed man. Jesus, he must live in our lives, and our friends must know what a change that Jesus has brought about in our lives. Again, friends, 30 minutes from now, the East Albertville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will begin conducting a Bible study period. After the Bible study is concluded, in about 45 minutes, we will worship God according to the things that we find written in his holy and divine word. And this being the first day of the week, there will be things that we are specifically commanded to do, and that is namely to observe the Lord's Supper and to lay by in store as God has prospered us. We'll assemble again this evening at 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 5 o'clock. We'll come together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for, again, a Bible study period. Keep these services in mind. We urge you to come to be with us. Bring only your Bibles and study with us. Observe what you see, observe what you hear, and compare that only with what the Scriptures teach. It's our claim to do only those things that we can be able to find, book, chapter, and verse 4, and all things we do to be in harmony with God's will. Also, remember tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire, a 30-minute live call-in program that if you have a Bible question, you can call and have that question given a Bible answer. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.